very happy to welcome to our program Karen Hobart Flynn. She's president of the national group Common Cause. Karen, thanks so much for making the time to come on our show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I thought I'd ask you first to tell our listeners who may not know a lot about Common Cause a bit about the work you do at the group nationally. And, of course, there has long been a chapter here in Connecticut as well.
That's right. So Common Cause has been around and founded since 1970 by John Gardner, former Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, a Republican in the Lyndon Johnson administration. Common Cause is nonpartisan citizens lobby, and we work to create open, accountable, and honest government that serves the public interest and promotes equal rights and representation for all, and works to ensure that people's voices are heard in the political process. We have about 900,000 activists and members in all 50 states and more than 30 state chapters, and I've been the president of Common Cause for a year, have worked with Common Cause for 27 years, and more than a decade of that time I led the chapter here in Connecticut as executive director. So I'm from Connecticut, love Connecticut, and loved the work that I did at the state level here.
Thank you for that, Karen. And I was reading a press release that fascinated me just, I guess it was last week, where Common Cause announced that they had filed a formal complaint with the Federal Election Commission, as well as the Department of Justice, against Donald Trump Jr. and the Trump campaign for soliciting opposition research on Hillary Clinton from Russian sources in advance of the 2016 presidential election. I think most of our listeners are up to speed or know in general that story that broke last week. But, you know, what's amazing to me, and we were just talking before we went on the air, is how this story is unfolding in dribs and drabs and, you know, major bombshells blowing up every other day. It really is something straight out of a novel that you would maybe find hard to believe happens in real life. But, you know, before we get to this this complaint filed with the Federal Election Commission and the DOJ, I'd just like to get your general sense of what's going on with this Trump administration. You know, of course, Trump distinguished himself from mainline politicians long ago, and a lot of it is just part of his vile approach to politics and racism and, you know, just his intolerance for other points of view and his advocacy of violence at his rallies during the campaign. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, or including that, what do you make of what's going on now that he's president?
You know, it has been a wild ride with so much that's unexpected. And you may remember, even before the election, one of the things that we found really troubling was that Trump said that if he were to lose, there was a good chance the election was rigged. And making those kinds of outrageous claims was just so startling to us. But one of the things we did learn is that there was an unprecedented level of hacking that was going on, and that our 17 different intelligence agencies told us that it was the Russian government ordered by Putin to not only interfere with our election, but try and help candidate Trump win. And we found, and even now, we are still learning more about this hacking, and that a lot of the hacking was more pervasive than we thought, that 39 different states had, you know, cyber intruders trying to get into their voter databases, accessing software, which was designed to be used by poll workers. At least one state, hackers accessed a campaign finance database. I know in Illinois, cyber intruders tried to delete or alter data. So it really was unprecedented. And the so just interesting to us that this kind of thing was going on, and it raised questions about whether this administration was involved in any way with the Russians? Did they collude? Was there interactions? And you may remember stories about Mike Flynn, the National Security Advisor, who lied several times, including to the FBI, about conversations that he had had with a Russian ambassador before Trump came into office. He claimed he didn't talk about sanctions, and then, you know, there were transcripts that showed he did. So we had lying about the Russians. Then we had our nominee for Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who lied in his testimony to the Senate that he had no meetings or interactions with the Russians, and in fact, he did. And we also had Trump Jr., Donald Trump Jr., also talking about the fact that he never had any kind of meetings with Russians. And then we see this New York Times article that came out on July 9th saying that Donald Trump Jr. met with a Kremlin-connected Russian lawyer who promised damaging information about Hillary Clinton. And what's remarkable to me about this is, first, you know, Trump Jr. lied about that meeting and said, you know, this was with some woman who wanted to talk about Russian adoptions, and continued to lie about this even as more information became public. And then when the New York Times was going to come out with this email chain between Donald Jr. and Ron Goldstone, who was setting up this meeting, and who said, you know, that the Crown Prosecutor, or what he meant was, I think, the Prosecutor General of Russia, had wanted to provide the Trump campaign with official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia, and that it was very high-level and sensitive information, but it's part of Russia's effort and the government's support for Trump, and they wanted to share that. You know, Donald Trump, in that email chain, said, you know, I love it. And I think that was the exact quote, I love it, and it would be, and if it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. And so he welcomed that meeting. And even over the course of the last week, we are just starting to learn who was in that meeting. We filed a complaint with the Department of Justice and the Federal Election Commission because we believe that this email chain shows that Donald Trump Jr. illegally solicited a political contribution from a foreign national, which in the form of the opposition research against Clinton. And federal campaign finance law defines a contribution to include anything of value given for the purposes of influencing a federal election. And federal law prohibits any person from soliciting or receiving contributions from a foreign national. So we believe that the Federal Election Commission and the Department of Justice should be looking at this, that this should be part of the investigations by Special Counsel Mueller, as well as the House and Senate investigations, to look at not only whether he did indeed solicit this illegal information, but also whether they accepted this information. But to be clear, whether or not he actually received the information doesn't matter in the eyes of the law, because the solicitation itself is what constitutes the violation. So when we learned through this email chain that Manafort and Kushner were part of that meeting, we've now supplemented our complaint to include them as illegally assisting Donald Trump in soliciting an illegal political contribution from a foreign national on behalf of the Trump campaign. And we're starting to see more information about a Russian-American lobbyist who attended the meeting, and he has put out statements saying that there was a plastic folder that the attorney brought with her with printed out documents that detailed what she believed were illicit funds flowing between the DNC and others and the Russians. And it's not clear to us whether those documents exchanged hands, but that's something we have to look at. Now we're also hearing that there's some other folks that may have been in the room, an interpreter and maybe someone else. So there's still a lot to uncover here.
Yeah, it's a lot to absorb. But Karen, I wanted to ask you, is this the smoking gun critics were looking for to prove the case of collusion and coordination between the Trump campaign and the Russian government or the or representatives of Russia?
You know, there's still a lot we don't know with regard to collusion, but I do think these emails were a smoking gun. I do think this shows that that at the highest levels of the Trump campaign, the campaign chair and Paul Manafort, the president's son-in-law Jared Kushner and his son Donald Trump Jr., they jumped at the chance to get information from the Russians that could aid them in defeating Hillary Clinton. So from that standpoint, I think that this is, it also shows that the Trump campaign has lied. We need to, if you were to go back and look at what the administration and their representatives have said over the last 9 months, we have them denying any interactions with the Russians regarding hacked emails or interference. We've heard it multiple times from President Trump and candidate Trump. We've heard it from Vice President Pence, from Paul Manafort, Sean Spicer, Kellyanne Conway, Rince Priebus, Hope Hicks. I mean, the list goes on and on. And this email shows that a lot of that is a lie. And it makes you wonder, what else are they lying about or hiding? And so I think that's very important. You know, there are lots of legal issues that are potentially at stake here besides the violation of campaign finance laws. I think that, you know, we are going to need an investigation by Mueller and the congressional committees to see whether Trump himself associated and colluded with the Russians. I mean, we need to remember that this meeting took place in Trump Tower. Trump was in Trump Tower at the time of that meeting, although we don't have any indication he was in the meeting, but we don't know. And I'm not positive I would trust what some of the people in the room would say because they haven't been honest about this issue. But I think that there are other legal issues that are worth looking at. You know, whether there was a conspiracy to commit fraud. You know, I think there's a lot to look at here. From my standpoint, it's important that those investigations continue forward, but also Common Cause has been calling for an independent investigation that is bipartisan in nature, and that there would be a great deal of public testimony and so that people can understand and learn what happened. When you are talking about a candidate or, you know, the President of the United States and his administration, it isn't just about lawbreaking. We want to know that the President and his administration are putting the American people first, above, putting their country above their own party, before their own goals, but also before the interests of a foreign nation that, frankly, is really hostile to many of our interests abroad. And so that's why we need that public airing, because if a Congress was ever to look at issues around this and even wanted to do an investigation, the beginning of impeachment proceedings to look at that, it isn't just about the violation of law. It's about dereliction of duty. It's about high crimes and misdemeanors, which may be, you know, colluding with the Russians so that they could win an election. All of those things matter.
Wow, there's a lot there. And Karen, I wanted to ask you particularly about Donald Trump. Obviously, Donald Trump's son and his son-in-law and his former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, are eager to insulate Donald Trump from the fallout of this meeting in Trump Tower with this Russian attorney. However, it is unusual that Trump's personal involvement may have been tipped by the fact that he tweeted, I guess within hours of that meeting, that he was actually eager for the Russians to release information. So either that's an uncanny set of coincidences, or he was certainly informed about that meeting and then reacted as he usually does with these constant tweets. I'm sure mm-hmm. you followed that timeline there.
Right. No, there were a lot of, you know, if you see the timeline laid out, there are a lot of questions, both that he was going to, you know, in a few days have really important information he wanted to release about the Clinton campaign. He also urged the Russians to hack to recover those 30,000 missing emails that Hillary had deleted. And so, you know, the timeline of all of this really does look fishy. And so if nothing else, I mean, there could be nothing there, but I don't think the American people are going to want to not, you know, hear about this. And they're going to want an investigation, and they're going to want to know, what did Trump know and when did he know it? That, you know, one of the other things that's so disturbing about all of this is that Trump still tweets that this story, the Russian story, is a hoax, that it's fake news. I don't know how he could possibly do that, given what we are learning. And so that putting out that kind of information, I mean, I have to say, to feel like you cannot trust what comes out of the White House press office, that they are not leveling with the American people. I mean, we've had presidents in the past who may spin something, but when I see something come out of that press office, I feel like we have to find several other sources to confirm it before I will even believe it's true.
Right.
And that is really troubling.
Well, in the realm of politics, that's disturbing enough, but in the realm of national security, as well as the issues of war and peace, these things, the fact that you can't trust what this president and his team
right.
are saying, could be lethal. So it's really unforgivable what's been going on here.
That's right. And, you know, the I know that you had someone on earlier talking about the Pence Kobach Commission.
That's right.
So
yeah.
he has put a commission together to look at in-person voter fraud instead of looking at the hacking that occurred in 2016. The secretaries of state from across the country met last week, and they have been complaining because they are getting no guidance from the federal government about, or any information about, the nature of the hacking. What are the kinds of cybersecurity protocols they need to put in place? You know, in less than 18 months, we have another election. And if you remember when Comey testified before the Senate, he said the Russians, you know, hacked the election and they're going to do it again. And so we need to be prepared. And they're off on a witch hunt looking for non-existent voter fraud, in-person voter fraud, and in fact are trying to put together this massive database that actually impinges upon Americans' privacy rights, you know, in terms of their voting patterns and party affiliation and Social Security numbers. And they're not looking at the huge elephant in the room, which is that the Russians, you know, attacked our election system, not just to, just to create mischief, but actually because they wanted to help Trump win.
We're speaking with Karen Hobart-Flynn this evening here on Counterpoint. She's president of Common Cause, and we're talking about a formal complaint that Common Cause filed with the Federal Election Commission and the Department of Justice about Donald Trump Jr., as well as Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort, who were all in this meeting with a Russian attorney seeking damaging information on Hillary Clinton just before the election. Karen, I wanted to ask you about this issue of the changing story. The Trump administration has constantly changed their response to allegations that they coordinated with the Russians on this election. Mm-hmm. And their defense has grown ever more bizarre. Initially, they said collusion never happened in any way, shape, or form. To now, the talking point. Now the talking point is there's nothing illegal about collusion. Sort of, they've been found out, and now they're not protesting so much that it hadn't occurred, but that there's no law against it. How do you as someone who's involved with this formal complaint, what about U.S. law tells you that this is indeed illegal?
There is, without a doubt, there are laws that the solicitation of anything like this is illegal. You know, there are also laws around conspiracy to commit fraud and others, especially if it has anything to do with illegally hacked emails. You know, what's troubling to me is that there's this notion of, hey, everybody does it. But, you may remember when Al Gore was running for president and someone sent him the prep materials of his opponent for a debate. And what did he do? He turned it over to the FBI. When someone reached out to Donald Trump, when Ron Goldstone or anybody else reaches out to Donald Trump Jr., his first reaction should have been, that is not something I want, and I need to contact the FBI. Why wouldn't you put your country first over your own partisan interests? It's really disturbing. And it is the nature of this administration to constantly change their story. They don't even care if they contradict themselves because they don't think people are paying attention. And I think they underestimate the American people. I think it's very important that we are paying attention to this, that we are holding this administration accountable and also pushing Congress to do that. Because let's be clear, we have a complicit Congress. Republicans in control have cynically ignored much of what Trump has been up to, and in part because they have their own agenda they want to get through, whether it's this, health bill that they want to do that, deprives 22 million people of coverage, or it's a Supreme Court justice that they want to get through. So they've ignored the fact that he has conflicts of interest of an unprecedented level. They've ignored a lot of this Russian hacking and haven't put their foot down. And we, the American people, need to stand up and demand that there is a full investigation, that there is a public investigation, and that it is bipartisan and not one party controlling it. We've got the challenge, even though Mueller has a terrific reputation, the fact of the matter is, the president could fire him. He could order the DOJ to fire him. And, that's outrageous. I thought it was outrageous when he fired Comey. So I think that I would expect this administration to continually change their story and to lack integrity in the way they do that.
Karen, just a final question. We only have about a minute left, but do you have faith in the investigators now in place, including Robert Mueller, the special counsel, the FBI, the House and Senate investigative committees, or should there be a congressional select committee, as there has been in previous scandal investigations?
I actually think that it's important to have a select committee. I think that Mueller is only going to look at those issues, as I stated earlier, those issues around violation, criminal violation of the law. And I think we need to look more broadly to look at what could be, whether the president has failed to do his duty, whether there is collusion, has he done things that undermine the integrity of the office of president, the kinds of intangibles that a select committee could look at that could, you know, fall into the category of high crimes and misdemeanors, which aren't really identified in the Constitution in terms of what that is. And when we looked at Watergate, they had to define that for themselves based on what they knew Richard Nixon had been up to. So a select committee is important. And we've also seen the chair of House Intelligence Committee undermine the committee's activities by running to the White House with information about their investigation before even sharing it with other members of the committee. So I think on the House side, Nunez has undermined the credibility of that committee's investigation. And so I think we need something more, something like a select committee that's bipartisan, and a lot of the testimony is conducted in public so the American people can learn the truth for themselves.
Well said. Thank you so much, Karen, for spending time with us tonight. And leave our listeners with the web address for Common Cause, where they can find more information about this formal complaint filed with the Federal Election Commission in the Department of Justice.
Sure. Thank you so much. You can reach us at www.commoncause.org. And thank you again for having me.
Appreciate it. Look forward to talking again. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Karen Hobart-Flynn, president of Common Cause.